bit.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Pets Allowed, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Good afternoon, Joysters. Welcome to another edition of Joy's very own show about pets. They really give us confidence, teach us about commitment and routine, but they also give us a lot of pride. They are, of course, our childhood pets.
They are indeed. Often our childhood pets are our first experience with pet ownership. And on the program today, we dust off our memory and look back on the pets that changed our lives. Kev, all this research into our childhood pets has reverted us a little bit. To our little childhood years, you were wearing a really cute beanie before of a teddy bear.
My little teddy bear. Yeah. My little teddy bear hat, which
I've got
is
my
unfortunately
hair in pigtails.
It's really, really hot in the studio, so I can't wear that the whole time.
What did your parents call you when you were little?
I would either get Kevy or KD. Yeah. My dad would call me KD.
Yeah.
What about you, Oz?
I got Uzi.
Uzi.
And Uzi, and I don't know, that kind of stuff made it sort of cutesy.
Often they'd call me Jason, Mark, Kevin, because they couldn't remember.
Kevin!
They went for my brother's names first, of course, because, okay, you know, when you've got two older brothers, you tend to be the last thought,
sure,
on their mind.
Well, Home Alone.
Yes, exactly.
Says it all. So, Kev, you grew up in somewhat of a zoo when you were little.
I did have quite a few pets, and we did put a post on the Joy Facebook page yesterday. Yeah. We were sort of saying, you know, can you guess who that is? Well, it is me.
Oh, it is you, it's so you.
It does look like me.
Very, very sweet.
And we had a couple of pictures on there. One was with my childhood dog when I was really, really little, Lady. And the cat was named Cheeky, and it actually ended up supposedly actually living two doors down from us, but used to hang it at our house a couple of times
very
as well.
Very pretty looking cheeky cat there. But we do also want to see your photos. Send them through to lostdogshome@joy.org.au.
We want to know about your childhood pets as well. So let us know, did you have something a bit unusual? Were they big? Were they small? Send in your memories and feelings with us all throughout the program today. We're going to put up some photos on our Joy profile page if you're happy with us to do that as well.
Pets Allowed.
Also coming up on the program today,
we talk about the rewards of having a pet as a child.
We get some handy insights into what parents need to consider when introducing a new pet to their children.
We look at online resources to help you and your children learn more about responsible pet ownership.
And Callum, who you might know from Wake Up It's Wednesday, is going to be joining us on the line to give us his top 5 strange childhood pets of all time.
I cannot wait for that one.
Stick around though, because after Katy Perry with Firework, we're going to have the Lost Dogs Home News of the Week. This is Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Bring joy to the world. Listen to us everywhere. Download the Joy smartphone app now at joy.org.au.
The Pets Allowed News Wrap. A look at the news of the week from the Lost Dogs Home.
It is time to recap the news and events of the week. Now, we have talked about two little chihuahuas before named Bert and Ernie, and we have some good news.
Some great news, actually. Last week, Bert and Ernie got adopted. Actually?
Excellent.
Yay. Yes.
Hooray. If I had a clapping sound, I would play one.
I don't know. That doesn't sound like clapping. There we are. That sounds more like clapping.
Clapping usually sounds like clapping. It's amazing. I know.
Yeah,
powers of the radio.
It's awesome. I had the pleasure of meeting their adopter, Hope, and her story is quite interesting. She happened to be flicking through the Herald Sun on her lunch break that she takes rarely. She works really hard. So she was off on this lunch break flicking through the paper, and the first page she opened up to was the article about Bert and Ernie looking for a home. And she immediately, on seeing them, knew that they would be perfect for her and her partner, Vu. And so she called up the home, and she was placed, I think, second or third on hold. Okay. Obviously, the two boys attracted a lot of attention. Her and her partner were successful in passing, I suppose, the sort of things that we expected from owners for them. The other good thing about Hope was that she actually grew up with chihuahuas.
Oh, wonderful.
And so she had a good sense of what they require in order to be happy and healthy. But also she grew up with female chihuahuas.
Okay.
So she never had two
boys
male.
Boys are a bit different.
Yeah. And so when she took them out for a walk, she realised that they did this funny thing we termed as the arabesque, the chihuahua arabesque, which consisted of them going to the toilet in sync. So she found that really, really funny. But if you want to read more about it, there's actually quite a few funny anecdotes in the story. It's on our website,
which is dogshome.com. Now, there has been some good news as well for those of us who are allergy sufferers to cats. Scientists at the University of Cambridge has identified how the body's immune system detects cat allergens, leading to symptoms such as coughing and sneezing, which means that they're going to be able to work out some preventative medicine for that. That's good news.
I think that's great news because there are people out there that want cats or want to at least interact with cats but can't because of their allergies. So
now, if you are thinking about getting a cat...
This week's Pet of the Week.
It is time to introduce our Pet of the Week this week. Now, you might have noticed it is just Kevin and Oslam on the radio today, but we thought, look, there's a little cat. He's got a bit of a special name.
So
we might bring him in as well.
It's Alan.
Alan the cat.
Alan the cat, not the vet, not the senior vet at the Lost Dogs Home. Alan is a male, 3 years old, a Bengal cross, has a short coat. He's been de-sexed, health checked, vaccinated, wormed and microchipped like all of our pets on adoption at the Lost Dogs Home. And Kat, you've had the pleasure of meeting Alan, Alan.
He is a gorgeous Bengal cross, which is, you know, they're kind of like, they look like little wild cats sort of thing. He's active, he's got a big personality, and he's got really high energy levels, so he needs an owner that's going to be able to look after him. There are highly trainable cats as well. There's this great video online of a border collie and a Bengal cat going trick for trick. They do a trick off, and it's amazing this is what this cat can do. So definitely, if you want to, you know, check out Alan, he has had some surgery on one of his legs as well, so he might walk with a bit of a limp, but it doesn't slow him down at all.
He sounds like he's also a bit active. He would get it out a lot from an owner who will invest a bit of time into sort of training him, I suppose, or
absolutely. He's gonna love an owner which is going to get him out and about. So yeah, and train him and get him to run around the house, get him lots of scratching poles, that kind of stuff. And his animal ID, 944654. We will cover that again later on in the program. As always, if you want to check out the animals that we currently have up for adoption, check out our website, dogshome.com. Right now, it is Pet Shop Boys with a winner. But when we come back, we're going to hear from some of the staff at the Lost Dogs Home about their childhood pets. This is Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. All throughout Pets Allowed today, we are reflecting on our childhood pets. We want to hear from you. Tell us about your childhood pets. Are they big, small, maybe a bit unusual? Share your memories and feelings with us all throughout the program today. We also want to see some photos. Come on, guys.
Kev's put himself out there.
I'll put myself out there, so you can too.
Kev went around the office yesterday and recorded the childhood memories of some of the staff at our North Melbourne shelter.
My childhood pet was my first pet. Her name was AJ. She was a long-haired chihuahua, and she was a stray animal that my dad actually rescued for me. We got her when she was about 4 months old, and I had her until she passed away at 17 years old. She was the most affectionate little soul. All she wanted to do was follow me around. Even when it was time for me to go and have a shower, she'd wait outside the bathroom door, and yeah, just really affectionate and loving towards me. I guess I had her from such a young age, so she taught me how to care and love for animals, and I guess that kind of came naturally, and she showed me how much I loved animals and cared for them as well.
You got a friend in me.
I had a corgi called Misty. She was a Pembroke corgi. We didn't get her till I was 10 and my younger brother was 7, so we were begging mum and dad for a dog for years and years, and we weren't allowed to have one until we were old enough to be responsible for a dog. Misty had a spunk and attitude. She was a big dog on short legs. She was very funny. But yeah, her attitude, she was hilarious.
What do you think you learned from her?
Basically developed my love of animals, and especially dogs, and also how to be responsible for a dog. You know, the feeding, the walking, the going to the vets with mum, you know, every time that she had to go to the vet for some reason. So yeah, it really taught me a lot about how to be a responsible pet owner. The way I do
is me. My first pet was we got a kitten called Trixie when I would have been about 6 years old. We got her from a farm with some relatives, and I remember taking her home in the back of the car, and she was in a cardboard box, and I remember her getting out of the cardboard box. And Trixie lived until well after I left home to go to university. Yes, she got to well over 20. She was just a really playful cat when she was young, and it was, we really enjoyed looking after her, and when she was got older, she was just a nice, laid-back, easygoing cat. I think I have two brothers, and I think we all learned sort of about looking after something and being responsible for something and keeping a routine, so feeding her every day, cleaning litter trays, and just that care. You got trouble, and I got them too.
Growing up, I had a dog named Jessie and a cat named Cuddles. They both lived to be 20 years old. Jessie was a mini foxy cross chihuahua, and Cuddles was a stray tabby who was found at a dump when she was a kitten. With Jessie, I loved that she was like a sister to me and my real human sister. She would play with us every day after school in the street with all the other kids, and she would always run laps around us, herding us back home when it got dark.
What did you love most about Cuddles?
I loved that she was sassy and independent, and she would only come to us when it suited her, and I really respected that about her. I learnt just to be true to myself and not care what anyone thinks of me and just live life by my own rules, as she did. You got a friend in
me. That there was Mel telling us about her childhood pets and the benefits and the rewards of owning them. Now, that track, Ken, it's so catchy.
I thought it was completely appropriate for the song, and people might recognise it as well.
It's from a very special movie.
It is from a very awesome movie, which everyone can relate to. It's from Toy Story.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, and it was a good backing track.
It is You've Got a Friend in Me by Randy Newman from the Toy Story soundtrack. Now, don't forget, we do want to hear about your childhood pets as well. SMS 0427JOY94. Or email onair@joy.org.au. Now, we have a bit of a riddle for you. What walks but lives in water? Now, stick around, because after this, Oz and I will take you through some of our own childhood pets, and some of them you'll hear are a bit unconventional.
Hi, this is Daryl Summers, and you're listening to Pets Aloud on Joy 94.9.
Now, the pets we have in our childhood often leave paw prints in our memories that stay with us all throughout our lives.
On Pets Aloud today, we're talking about some of these very special animals that do change our lives. And we're currently, Betty's in the studio taking some fantastic photos.
Hi, Betty.
Which I believe will be up on the Joy Facebook page. Fabulous. So, Kev, you've got your thinking hat on.
I've got my thinking bear
beanie on. Let's go back to when you were a child. You were quite fortunate to have lived with a lot of different pets.
Yeah, growing up, my parents were very pet-friendly. So if we wanted a pet, generally we were allowed to get it as long as we were going to look after it properly. And you know, it was obviously pet appropriate for the certain ages and everything like that. Do you want me to go through the list of what I've had?
Let's just keep it to, four.
Okay. My top four would be my dogs. Mm-hmm. So there's been four dogs that I've had when I was growing up. So we had Lady, who was when I was born. She was our dog at that time. Then we got Tina, mm-hmm. when I was about four or five, and she was a foxy cross. And then when I was in grade six, we got Bonnie and Soxy. So they were two Shih Tzu cross Maltese, brother and sister. And they were great. I loved my dogs, and, mm-hmm. and it really, they helped, you know, ignite my great passion for dogs and to work in the animal welfare industry mm. with dogs and that kind of stuff.
But also, you did have quite an interest in the animals in general and the life cycles of animals.
When I was young, I actually wanted to be a vet. Mm-hmm. So we had everything from mice to birds, axolotls, mm-hmm. which is the answer to our riddle from before. And we had a Mexican walking fish, and they were great. And I learned so much about them. That when I went to school, we used to have pets at school as well. So when I was in junior campus, we had snakes, rats, yabbies, and fish, and mice, and chickens. And this is, you know, a suburban school in the park. And when I went to the senior campus, we had axolotls there as well. And from my own experience, I was able to go, hang on, they need their tanks to be sort of looked at because they're, you know, they aren't doing too well. So, yeah, I had quite a lot of pets. They're great for me as well, growing up as a young gay man, to have pets. As a boy, you sort of, I had two older brothers and I wasn't like them. I wasn't the same as them. They were into their, you know, rock music and Green Day and that kind of stuff. And I liked the Backstreet Boys. And my pets really appreciated that.
They liked the Backstreet Boys too.
So they used to be my, you know, my confidants, my friends. I used to hang out with them and take them for walks and all that kind of stuff.
There's also a bit of that unconditional love that happens there.
Yeah, absolutely.
They love you no matter who
That's
you
right.
are.
They didn't care who I was. They just loved me and I gave them treats and that kind of stuff. And
also, show and tell.
Yeah, when we first got the puppies, we got to take them into school with show and tell. So I got to take Bonnie, and my brother took Soxy, and Bonnie was so good and she didn't pee anywhere, whereas Soxy did. So I was like, haha, my dog's better than yours. Now, what about you, Oz? You had a bit of an interesting childhood with the animals that you like to see as well.
I suppose the first thing I'd do after school was either get on my bike or, like, you know, go around the court on my bike, on my BMX bike, or, four
You're
wheels
a biker.
As well. Because that meant that I was an extra cool bike rider.
But wait, no, four wheels was in your training wheels?
That's in my training wheels. Anyway, or I'd be out in the backyard just prodding about, and I'd dig a lot. So I'd sort of dig up the soil, and I was really curious to see what was in the soil, and I discovered there were a lot of worms.
Yeah, that's generally what you find in soil.
You generally find, and I embarked on this project of creating a bit of a worm farm, which didn't unfortunately turn out very well, and I think that just taught me a lot about respecting other forms of life and the life cycle. So I actually took it a bit extreme at one stage, where I would be really careful where I walked, just in case I was stepping on ants. It really did affect me. But, you know, it's just interesting, those little things that you remember about your childhood
absolutely.
And your contact with animals. And that was one. But the other, my main pet that I always remember as a child was our German Shepherd, who I pretty much grew up with. He was like my pony.
He was a lot bigger than you.
He was a lot bigger than me, but I just loved him to bits, and I was quite close to him. And he lived until he was 15, Kev.
Wow, that's quite a good age for a German Shepherd.
Yeah,
well.
Quite a good age. But again, that taught me and my whole family actually about how to deal with grief as well, because he was so close to the family.
And that is something that pets do teach kids as well, is, you know, they teach us so many things when they're alive, but they also help teach us about that cycle of life and the grief cycle as well when they pass.
That's right, because often they're the first family members to go in a way too. So, there's quite a few things that you learn there too. But look, pets also teach us about routine. That's an obvious one.
Yeah, I remember I had to, you know, when I had guinea pigs, I had to clean out their cage every week and feed them every day to make sure they were fed, make sure they had water. The dogs had to go for a walk every day. The mice had to have food. There was all these different things that I had to learn as a kid about feeding and that kind of stuff. I had, you know, budgies and all that kind of stuff too. So definitely learn about routine and commitment to them as well. So making sure I was committed to training them and feeding them and cleaning out their cage, because otherwise my parents would take them off me.
And there's a flow-on effect from that. Studies have shown that it really does help with cognition and learning, because routine is so essential to children and when they're growing up. So having your pets put you into that routine also flows onto education as well.
And it definitely helped when I was at school when we did all the stuff about pets, because I really wanted to learn about animals and I really liked the sciencey side of stuff so that I could learn. They're also good for companionship, you know, when you're in sort of a country town or something like that, you know, your pets might be your main companion. And so, like with Alan with his horses and
that's
that
right.
kind of
Kate
stuff
as well.
Well.
She grew
Kate
up on a farm.
Farm. Resourcefulness, you know. I remember I once built a little camera so I could watch my guinea pigs. You know, I was resourceful. I could do whatever I could as a kid, and my dad taught me how to do it. But, you know, we set up a little camera in their cage outside so I could feed inside and watch them on the little screen.
Monitor what they were doing while you're at school.
See what they were doing and hang out. And it also teaches you about sharing as well.
Yes.
So, you know, your dogs learn they have to share their beds. You have to share your space with them. You have to share your toys, that kind of stuff. Share your food.
Share time as well.
Time.
Share the love in the family. It's quite important, particularly for the younger member of the family or children on their own. So those components are all the good benefits of having a pet as a child.
That's right. Now, coming up after we hear from George Michael with Faith, we're going to look at introducing a new pet to the family. This is Pets Allowed.
Hi, this is Nicola Charles from Neighbours, and you're listening to Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
This is Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. All throughout the program today, we are talking about childhood and pets. Don't forget, we do want to hear from you. We want to know, tell us about your pet you had as a child.
Sharon, our fundraising team leader at the Lost Dogs Home, cannot remember a time in her childhood that did not involve a pet, particularly a Siamese cat she had for an impressive 17 years that cemented her love for animals.
and she is now a proud mother of four. And Sharon has continued her family tradition of caring for and owning pets with her children, who've owned an eclectic range of pets from stick insects even to a pony.
Outside of her fundraising duties at the Lost Dogs Home, Sharon goes to schools to do presentations and talks to primary school students on responsible pet ownership.
Now, Oz caught up with Sharon, who starts off here by telling us that introducing a new pet needs to be a family decision.
You've got to start right at the top, and what do the whole family want, and are the whole family committed to it? Because as a parent, it's no good bringing in an animal if the children really don't want it, and it's also, it's no good letting a child have an animal that the parents aren't prepared to be part of. So you've got to look at what do everybody do? Are the kids really busy? It might, you know, if your parents work and your kids are really, you know, really busy, then it may not be appropriate to have a dog, for instance. Maybe you have a goldfish or a rabbit or a cat. Take into account everybody's needs and talk to the kids. What are the kids like? And take into account how much time the kids are going to have to spend with it, and their ages, and also what their understanding of animals is. Have they spent a lot of time with animals at friends' houses, or are animals completely alien to them and something they've got to really get used to?
Sharon, you have four children and they're all aged. There's the teenagers, some have moved out, and you've got two young children as well at the moment. Can you tell us a bit about your pets and how you decided to introduce them to your family?
Absolutely. Our first animal as a family was a cat. I've always had cats. I grew up with cats as well as other animals, but I have never lived in memory in a house without a cat in it. So I just couldn't imagine living without a cat. So against what I said earlier, there was no choice. We had to have a cat. we had cats growing up with the kids. My older boys also had rabbit for a while. We've had stick insects. We even had a pony, actually, for a while as well.
They're all very different pets.
Absolutely. We had a goat in the back garden for a little while as well. Yes, we've always had animals. We have dogs as well now, once we were in a position to have a dog. So yeah, it's just kind of what we do. We have them.
And what do you think your children have taken away from that experience? What sort of a role have their pets played in their lives?
I think it's varied between my children. Some I'm just more naturally really into the animals, just love them, you know, want the dogs on their bed, cats on their bed, want to sit with them on their laps, they want to brush them. But even one of my children wasn't so naturally sort of orientated towards animals, but I think what it's given him in particular, as someone that wasn't naturally so warm to animals, is a really good understanding of their needs, and that they're real and they're living, breathing creatures that need care and love, which I really think that maybe if he hadn't lived with animals, he would now not have a very good concept of. So I think it's been really, really valuable. And certainly my younger children are now that they're devoted to their dogs, and I forever find dogs under duvets where they sneak them into bed and all sorts. So I think it really gives them a great understanding of their needs and the love that comes with it.
Going back to what you were saying before in terms of assessing the age and the personality of your children and getting pets based on that, how do you maintain their enthusiasm, their initial enthusiasm towards those pets? Or is it something that sort of changes with time, and do you have to sort of, in a sense, take on more responsibility and be open to that as a parent?
I think you have to be. I don't think you'll find any child anywhere that wouldn't say they wanted a pet of some kind at some time. And to be realistic, some of those kids are going to throw everything into it, and some are going to lose interest. So I really don't think a family should ever get an animal if they're not prepared to, if the parents aren't prepared to care for that animal if the child does lose interest. But I do think it's also important to be realistic. Children are fickle. They're young. They're still learning things. They change their mind about what they like and what they want to do. So don't expect too much of them. Don't buy a dog and expect a 7-year-old to walk the dog, feed it, clear up the yard for dog poo and all those things, because that is going to be a really hard slog, but get them involved to a sensible amount. They come out for walks with you. They do some brushing. Maybe it's their job to put the food bowl down or pick it up when the dog's finished so it can be washed, and let it be fun, but while sort of keeping that understanding of that dog is reliant on you. And even if mum's doing it, making a point of saying, right, this is, you know, now we're doing this and we're doing that, because the animals need that kind of care.
That there was Sharon giving us some great tips on introducing a new pet to the family with a family with kids.
Up next, we're going to look at some parameters parents need to set and some useful websites and links to help you and your children learn about being responsible pet owners.
Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
This is Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. All throughout today, we are talking about children and pets and our childhood pets.
Yeah.
Now, we've had an email in from Ken, who's from Portland in Oregon.
Ken, you have made us so happy, Kenny.
Thank you so much, Ken. Yes. Now, Ken wanted to let us know about his first pet, and her name was Buffy. She was a mixed mutt, and she was mellow as ever. He grew up in the Midwest in Minnesota on a farm. She was his best friend. Yeah, the kids could do anything. She let them dress her up, put her in a wheelbarrow and wheel her around, and she was such a great sport.
They can be quite patient.
Now, she lived till she was about 16. It was so hard when they had to let her go, and he still has a vivid memory of picking her out as a puppy. So that's fantastic, you know, that pet has stuck so much in your life and been such a big part of your life as well.
And it's that companionship, isn't it? It sounds like he was in quite a isolated area, and so having that connection with something that made him happy, it's fabulous.
And we did hear from Callum as well, who is feeling so nostalgic right now, and he says, hello Oz and hello Kev. Or I actually said, howdy Oz, howdy Kev. Now we will be talking to Callum very soon about his top five strange pets, but we just wanted to talk a bit about the fact that kids can be a bit sporadic, a bit unpredictable, particularly toddlers. So it's a good idea to be an example and guide them on how they should approach a dog or a cat.
Just as Sharon was saying, firstly, it's good to sort of gauge where your kids are at in terms of their want and their desire to interact with dogs and cats or other pets. So have a conversation with them.
Yeah, you will get some kids who completely don't want to go near a dog or a cat at all. So just making sure that they're okay. Now, if they're happy to go towards, you should always lead the way. So you should show them how to do it. To approach a dog, approach it, make sure it's on lead. Don't approach it if it's not. Let it come to you rather than you coming to going towards it. It can sort of pick that up as threatening. Don't stare at it because, again, eye contact is a threatening thing in the dog world. Have your hand closed. Let them sniff you first. If they then come towards you, that's fine. If they turn away, don't pressure that dog anymore. If you're going to give them a bit of a tummy rub or something like that, make sure you go under the chin. Don't go above their head.
So definitely not on the head.
Yeah, not on the top of the head. That is sort of a threatening thing as well. So, you know, if then that's okay. Do the same, but hold your kid's hand while they're doing it, just to make them, you know, more aware of what they need to do to approach that animal.
And kids should always act caution. So you need to sort of put the parameters down, particularly around feeding times. So they should not make any approach to the dog around their feeding time or when food or toys are about, their favourite toys.
Yeah.
And they should not try and grab the toys either from their mouth or the floor or somewhere that's accessible to the dog, that's near the dog. They should obviously not shake the dog while they're sleeping or frighten the dog around the corner or, you know, try and...
Yeah, use its name to sort of wake it up just before you sort of go towards it, because if they sort of are startled awake, they could go into a bit of a defensive mode.
That's right. For cats, Kev, what are some things that we need to think about?
Cats, again, you know, they need a place where they can get away from the kids if necessary. Let them approach. Don't approach them because, you know, cats are very territorial. They can be a bit angry. Cats still attack, you know, anyone. They still will sort of turn in a moment. So just be careful. It can take a cat a bit longer to warm up to new people. Kitty litter is not a sandpit, so don't let your kid play in it.
Good point.
Encourage your kids to play with the cat with their toys, that kind of stuff as well, because they do have claws. Don't pick them up, don't squeeze them, and definitely don't pull their tails. And, you know, you're going to get some cats who are more easygoing, especially if they've been raised as a kitten with kids, but you're going to get some cats who definitely don't want to go near your child at all. So you need to think about that as well.
And always, always keep an eye on your kids when they're with their pets.
Supervision is 100% the most important thing as well. We do have some stories on our website about this as well, which is at dogshome.com. But there is a great app as well out there, which is called, if I can get this working. Come on,
you can do it. Welcome to Victor and Victoria's Pet Town. Take a look around and see what you can discover.
Victor and Victoria's Pet Town. Take a look around. It is an app for iPad as well as for, you can get it on the PC as well. It is all about getting kids to learn about dog safety, about looking after a pet. It's a joint initiative. Yeah. That's the word I was looking for, between the New South Wales government and the Department of Primary Industries in Victoria. So you can check that out. It is interactive and it's got some child-friendly games, which helps them learn about looking after a dog, dangerous dogs, you know, keeping away from dogs in the street, how to approach a dog,
how
all that kind of stuff.
How to recognise if a dog's happy or sad or angry.
Yeah, so there's lots of stuff in there, and you can access that at pets.newsouthwales, so nsw.gov.au. And the Victorian government has a pet responsible pet ownership program
Do check it out. It's, you can either put it into a search engine, so DPI and pets, or just look at www.pets.info.vic.gov.au. But as Kev said, there's loads more, so we will no doubt be looking back on this in coming weeks, but also do check out the Dogs Home website.
Now we did just get a quick message in from Anna, who said her cat Christy used to walk through the rain shaking his paws dry one at a time, so when he came back in from the rain he used to shake that out.
I love that little flick that they do with their hind legs.
Right after this, we're going to be chatting to Callum about his top five strange pets. This is Pets Allowed with the Lost Dog Zone on Joy 94.9.
The perfect mix of music, news and interviews. Joy 94.9.
This is Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. All throughout the program today, we are talking about childhood pets and our own childhood pets as well. Now, I have, you know, sort of mentioned that I did have quite a few strange pets as a child. So, you know, an axolotl or three, I think, at one stage. I used to have some, you know, mice and lizards and frogs, and I still have frogs now.
Yeah, so not your conventional cat or dog. We do, however, have an aficionado. I knew I was going to say that in a funny way. on Peculiar and Strange Pets, we're joined on the line by Callum from Wake Up With Wednesdays, who we've put to the task of coming up with the top four, strange childhood pets of all time. Welcome to the program, Callum.
G'day, thank you.
How are you today?
I'm well.
Did we set you up for four or five?
You set me up with five.
Five. Fantastic.
Is good. Okay, five. So, Callum, give us your top five strange childhood pets. You know, people might know you from Wake Up It's Wednesdays. You do some shows throughout the week as well sometimes. But you do generally talk about some strange animals, some peculiar animals. So we want to hear, what are your top five strange childhood pets?
Well, these are the top five of the pets I had that were more unusual. So it started out with it's a garden variety rat these days, but back in the day, my rat was pretty bizarre.
You had a rat. Where did you get the rat from?
We got them from a rat breeder.
Okay.
And rat breeders are bizarre. They are a very strange group of people. They're very, very passionate, and their house is filled with the sound of scratching and squeaking. It's really quite an experience to go into a dedicated rat breeder's house.
And are there particular types? This is a very ignorant question.
There is lots and lots. Hooded rats are the ones that you find mostly in pet shops and stuff. Mm-hmm. They're the ones with like the grey or the brown over their head and shoulders, and then the white on the rest of them. Mm-hmm. But my favourite were, I think they're called the Berkshire, which are black and have a white cross on their stomach. And all the best rats I've ever had have been Berkshire. So they've. I have one that used to play the piano.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she I was sitting on the couch, she was just running about the place, and then I just hear the piano.
Starts playing it.
It's a great icebreaker if you've got people over and there's no conversation flowing, just bring out the rat with
just
the piano.
The rat onto the piano and watch her go.
All right,
it
wasn't
very good.
Excellent. What's your next one? What's top number four?
Do you guys remember Furbies?
Furbies.
They're not exactly pets.
They're kind of like a pet. They communicate with you and they're furry. And
you couldn't turn them off.
That's right.
That's right.
They would sit there all night and scream at you.
Yep, they were terrifying. And my housemate had one last year. He found an original one on Facebook and it was a bit dilapidated. It wasn't a healthy Furby at all.
Oh, dear. All right, Callum, number three.
Leaf and stick insects, which you've covered, sir.
Mm. Excellent. Stick insects, they're good.
Had. They're pretty placid.
Yeah, they kind of don't do much.
Yeah, I love their only defence mechanism is to look like they're waving in the breeze.
Excellent. What about number two?
All right, number two, sea monkeys.
Yeah, okay, I used to have sea monkeys as well. I used to have a pendant, like it was a little portable tank where you could carry your sea monkeys with you.
Yeah, yeah.
And do you remember that TV show, The Amazing Life Sea Monkeys?
That TV show was really scary.
It was pretty bizarre. It was kind of like Three Stooges, but with sea monkeys.
Yeah, it kind of like reminded me of the Teletubbies for some reason, like an early incarnation of it. I'm not sure, just all the gurgling sounds and things.
And the scary makeup.
Yes, yeah, that was a bit frightening. All right, Callum, give us your number one strangest pet you had as a child.
Number one strangest pet I had was an axolotl, just like you.
Yes, axolotls are awesome.
They are awesome. They're really weird. And I had mine when I was in kindergarten, so really it was mum and dad's pet that I got to say was mine. And they looked up, I named him Axe because I was very creative as a three-year-old.
Sounds like it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And he was amazing, but he used to bite me when I stuck my finger in the cage.
Yeah, because they are meat eaters. And I remember I had a few times when the axolotl would latch onto my finger a bit. Mm. And it doesn't hurt. It just feels really weird.
My fish used to do that. My goldfish would nibble.
Yeah, but the axolotl can actually fit your fingertip in its mouth.
Okay. And you could end up without the tip.
No, they weren't. They didn't have that
chubby. They don't really have a very strong jaw. They don't really have teeth. They're more for gripping.
Yeah.
Oh, well, look, there's so many things in common between you and Kev.
I know, with your strange pets. Childhood pets. I was like, oh, I had that. I had that one.
All right, Callum, well, thank you so much for joining us on the program today.
No worries. Take care.
Thanks a lot.
It's been great hearing from you. Hopefully we'll hear from you soon.
All righty.
Cheers.
You're listening to Pets Aloud on Joy 94.9.
This is Dog Dates, your pet's community calendar.
This is Pets Aloud with Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. It is 1 minute. So 2 minutes to one, 1 minute to one now, and it is time for dog dates. Now, canine nose work is an exciting dog sport that can turn any pet dog into a scent detection champion. There is a day-long seminar on canine nose detection, which will be held in Melbourne on August 17th. To find out more, check out caninenosetime.com.
Tomorrow, the temperature is going to be 16 degrees, so not very hot at all.
It's
going to be the nicer day of the weekend. So if you'd like to go to a couple of dog-friendly markets, there's a Charles Street Artist Market in Brunswick. That's open pretty much most of the day, so you can jump onto your search engine and check that out for details. And there's also the Rose Street Artist Market, which features a stack of awesome designs and jewellery and all those sorts of things. And it's out, both of them are outdoors, so it's a fantastic way to spend a bit of time with your dog outdoors whilst you go shopping.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Pets Aloud today. We have been talking all about childhood pets. Don't forget, you can check out our podcasts online at petsjoy.org.au/petsaloud.
It's like the Mad Minute.
It is the Mad Minute. Don't forget to walk your dogs.
And pat your cats.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.